Our scripture passage this morning is from 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. John 1, chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for also the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Attorney John Dean was the White House counsel during the Nixon administration. And being the White House counsel during the Nixon administration, he was in on a lot of different phone calls and conversations, and he knew a lot of what was going on in the White House during the Nixon presidency. And you probably know where this is going. During the Nixon presidency, there was that White House scandal that we now just refer to as Watergate. And we all know kind of the proceedings that happened from that. And John Dean was integral in his testimony that he gave during that time of what kind of took place and what happens in his recollection as the scandal unfolded and things came into the light. And during the Nixon administration, he also taped a lot of those conversations that he had in the Oval Office. And the funny thing was that as the reports were coming out, as they were investigating what went on during this time in the president's administration, they found out that John Dean's account or memory of what happened, even though in his mind, it was what took place, and through lie detectors and other things, they found out that he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth, at least as from what he perceived it to be, from his memory. And then as they heard the tapes of those recordings, they found out that those two accounts didn't line up. The tapes said one thing, and then his testimony about it was a bit different. And it seemed like throughout the findings and as things kept coming to light that John Dean's account of things were what, as an attorney, he would have wanted those conversations to be. He put himself a little bit more in the center of everything that went on than what was reality. He remembered those conversations a little bit more grace-filled towards himself than maybe they turned out to be. And it brought to light this interesting conversation about our memories and how we remember things, that how we remember events taking place may not quite line up with what tapes would be or what video recordings would be of an event. It kind of shows us that we have our own perspective or ways of seeing the world and remembering our actions throughout that time and place, whatever that is in our life. And it may not quite line up with what reality is. And our passage this morning talks about how we can sometimes deceive ourselves or misremember things or not quite understand reality for what it actually is. I don't know quite the situation that John was writing to in the early church, but it seems like in our letter this morning, as he's opening it up for the people, he wants to outline very clearly that he's getting this gospel message, which he is about to give to them, directly from Christ Jesus. That he reminds the people that he was there with Jesus. He was one of his disciples who followed him around. He bore witness to everything that Jesus did. He saw with his own eyes the death and resurrection of Christ. And he received it directly from him, which leads scholars to believe that during this time, there must have been other people who were coming into those congregations that John was writing to that had a bit different message for the people. We don't quite know what that message is, but from John's letter, we can kind of get that it was maybe something to do with, well, Christ Jesus has paid the price for everything through his death and resurrection. We can rejoice in that because that part is true. But it seems like these teachers who were coming in were saying, well, because Christ has paid everything for us on the cross, we don't have to worry about how we live any longer because Christ has paid that price. So just go on and keep sinning and doing how you do, living how you used to live, and there's nothing more that's required of you. And John is saying in our passage today, he's giving this message to the church that if you continue on in sin, or as he puts it, if you live in darkness, you deceive yourself, that God's truth is not in you. John is addressing an issue in the early church where they were saying one thing, but they were perhaps living another way. They said they were found in God's grace, which is true, but they weren't living into that grace that God had given them. They were still living lives like his grace didn't actually mean too much to them, or at least it didn't mean enough to them that they would change in response to this awesome gift they've been given in Christ Jesus. And he's warning them if they continue on in darkness, in sin, that'll lead to destruction. That the truth that they think they hold on to, they don't actually hold on to. As I was reading this passage this week and trying to get in and understand what John was trying to say to the people, and a lot of scholars believe that this was an issue that was kind of leaking into the church, that there was this idea that they didn't have to live into the grace that God had given them in Christ Jesus. I was wondering if it was an issue that was really coming from outside the church, or if it was just the natural human tendency that we all have, and I know they had back then, to just get a bit lax or lazy or not think it's quite as important as it should be. That as we start out on new adventures, we're always super excited to do so, and are really ready to get in there and do it. We watched a movie last night called Naiad, and it's about this swimmer who tries to swim from Cuba to the Keys in Florida. And every time she started out, it took her five times to finally get across the Gulf. And every time she set out, she said, "This is going to be the time that I'm going to do it." She had no doubt in her mind that this was going to be the time that she swam from Cuba to Key West in Florida. And I think that's what we as humans tend to believe about ourselves, that we are going to live as God intended us to live, that we're going to leave behind the sin of our past life, and we're going to live as God wants us to in response to the grace that we've been given. But then, as we swim, or as we continue on in life, we tend to get a bit tired. Or it's been a week, or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and we've been trying to avoid that past sin, but it's hard. We tend to fall back into it every once in a while, and before you know it, we start making up reasons why we tend to keep doing this, and maybe it's not that big of a deal that we leave it behind. Maybe we can take it with us and carry it. I think oftentimes we can chalk that up to, oh, well, that's just a personality trait that that person has. They can't do anything about it, so we just have to live with it. But what John is saying here in this passage is that those little white lies that we tell ourselves or other people, that maybe we cover up gossip as asking for prayer for somebody in their situation, even though we shouldn't be sharing it with others. Chalking up those sins that we hold on to as personality traits. All these different ways are ways that we continue to live in darkness when we say that we live in the light. It's the very issue that John is talking about here, that we tend to think that the danger is going to come from outside, but really the danger, what makes us stumble and fall, is more often than not in our own hearts. And just like John Dean and his account of how that Watergate thing happened, we tend to reflect back on our lives and maybe those situations where we acted poorly or we sinned against God or our neighbor. We probably tend to think, well, it wasn't that bad, or maybe we don't even know that we acted poorly in that situation and didn't honor God as we should, or didn't love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that puts us in that place of darkness again. It's a rather harsh message that John is giving the church, that even if you think you walk in the light, you're probably walking in the darkness because you're still holding on to that past life and you're not giving it all up and running towards Jesus. But in this harsh message that he gives the church, he gives even more grace to them in Christ Jesus. That as he's preaching this message that all have sinned and fallen short of God, that there's sin in everyone's life and there's almost nothing we can do about it, he gives one response to that. That even though we are sinful, that we'll probably always be carrying sin around in our lives, and if we say we are without sin, then he says we're deceiving ourselves. Our account of things aren't as they are in reality. He says that in that predicament, that we find ourselves in, that Christ Jesus walked into that predicament of sin and brokenness that we find ourselves in, this reality. And he says that in Christ Jesus, by his death and resurrection, that gospel message that he saw for himself with his own eyes as he walked with Jesus for those 3 years, as he talked with them, as he learned from him, as he saw Christ being nailed on the cross, as he stood next to Jesus' mom, watching Christ die. And a few days later, when he was there in that room with the rest of the disciples, Jesus appearing to them, physically seeing Jesus again, and how the Holy Spirit came on John and then gave him this message to preach. That through what John saw in the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus is the answer to this predicament of sin and darkness that we live in. That John says that in Christ Jesus, in God himself, there is no darkness, but he is the light. That if we find ourselves in Christ Jesus, we are no longer in the darkness, but in his light, or in his grace. That positionally, when we believe in Christ Jesus, we've been moved from the darkness into his light, into his grace, where there can be no darkness at all. Christ has fully paid for all of the wrong in us and in the world, he says. And thanks be to God that Christ sent his only Son into the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The grace that we find in our passage today is, even though we may struggle with sin, as long as we're struggling with it, we know that we're in the light, that the Holy Spirit is working in us to root out that old self so that we can continually be leaving it behind. And hopefully the Holy Spirit is also revealing to us those sins that we might not even yet know are taking place in our life. And the Holy Spirit is also there to assure us of our salvation. As John says in this passage, that we have an advocate sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now, and he's speaking on our behalf every moment of our life. When we mess up and we sin against God, or we sin against our neighbor, that Christ Jesus is there speaking with the Father and saying, remember, I paid the price for Josiah's sin. Remember, I paid the price for Bill's sin. Remember, I paid the price for Steve's sin. You can't count that against them any longer, because I paid the price for them on the cross. The cross is where we find our forgiveness, where we find the grace that's been given to us in Christ Jesus. It's through the resurrection that we find the power, the same power that Christ conquered sin and death with, that we're given through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we can continue on in our salvation, that we can continually be leaving the darkness behind and living more and more into the light each day. Our response to this gift that we've been given in Christ Jesus is to do that work. Big theological term for it is sanctification, but it's the work that we do with the Holy Spirit each day, that when the Holy Spirit reveals to us something that is wrong in our lives, that we listen to it, and we take heed to His nudging in our life, and we try and work at leaving that part of us behind us. When the Holy Spirit tells us, hey, you should work on this aspect of your life. This is a gift that God has given you. Nourish it. Live into that. We again take that nudge from the Holy Spirit, continue to walk into the light and out of the darkness. One of the gifts that God has given to us in doing this is fellow believers, that we don't have to do this difficult work alone, but He's given us this family to help us. Maybe they can reveal to us some of that which is still in darkness, help us walk into the light. And He's also given us this meal that we're about to partake. The Reformed tradition, we know it not as just a remembrance of what Christ has done, but we know that Christ meets us here at this table, that the bread and the juice in a spiritual, real way becomes His body and blood for us. That we're nourished and strengthened to continue on in this walk with Him in this meal. That we partake of His body and blood, and it nourishes us and strengthens us to continue to walk in the light with Him. Thanks be to God that He's given us this church family, this meal to share together, so that we might continue on in this journey together. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for this difficult message that all of us have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. God, we're thankful that even though in and of ourselves we cannot reach You, that You have come down into our place in Christ Jesus, that by His death and resurrection, You paid the price for our sins, and You've given us the power to leave behind our brokenness, our sinfulness, and given us the power to live in Your light, in Your grace each day. We're thankful for the church, which encourages us and enables us to continue to walk in that faith. God, we thank You for this meal that we are about to partake, which nourishes us to also continue on this walk with You. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.